I'd like to talk to you tonight about Chanukah. And we know that there's uniqueness about Chanukah when it comes to the mitzvah of lighting the menorah, that we have a concept of mahadrin and mahadrin min mahadrin, and that's not normal, that you should have designated ways to make the mitzvah more beautiful. There's a concept of hiddur mitzvah in general by mitzvahs, that we do a mitzvah, we try to make it as nice as possible. But by Chanukah, it's like a built into the system, so to speak, different ways to fill the mitzvah. The mitzvah is Ner Ish U'Beiso, light one candle in the house every night. That's the mitzvah, the kind of mitzvah, one candle each night. Then there's Mahadrin, everyone in the house will light one candle each night. And Mahadrin, Min Mahadrin, that you don't light one candle, like the first night, second night two, third night three, and so on till eight. And when it comes to Chanukah, all of Klai Yisrael has adopted the Mahadrin and Mahadrin, basically, and we light every night more than the night before. And we don't just usually have, some people have one menorah, some people have more, depending on how you learn the requirements of Mahadrin and Mahadrin. But we all try to do it the best possible way. And we have to wonder, why is Chanukah different in this respect, that we have the institutionalized hiddur mitzvah built in, and we all try to do it the best possible way? And I was able to hear an answer to this question from the Mashkiach Rav Salman Shlita, and he said the fascinating insight in a Rambam that's brought in the end of the Halachas of Isur Mizbeach. The Rambam is talking about bringing a Karban Mincha in the nicest possible way. And he concludes by saying, if the mincha is kosher regardless, so what is the point of knowing the nicest? And he says that a person who wants to be zeicha should force his yetzahara and spend the extra money and bring his carbon from the nicest, the most beautiful that he can possibly bring. And where do we learn that from? We learn it from the Chumash Parshas Bereishis. Vehevel hevi gamhu mi bechoros tzeinoi umichel behen vayisha Hashem el hevel ve'in l'chaso. We learn it from Cain and Hevel. Cain understood the power of Karbanos and he brought a carbon. Hevel also understood the power of Karbanos, but he did something else. He also brought, that means Cain brought, he understood what it's about, what Kabbalah has accomplished. And Hevel went further. He brought from the best of his animals. He was a shepherd, he took from the best of his animals. As opposed to Cain, who brought, but he didn't bring from the best. Rashi says he brought actually from the Gerua, that which is not so nice. And Hevel brought from the best. And Hashem turned to Hevel and his mincha. So we learn that when you bring a carbon, you try to bring the yafa, the meshubach, b'yaser, the nicest, most beautiful. V'hu adin, and the same is true, b'chol davar, everything, this is again according to Rambam, everything shehu l'shem hakel hatov, everything which is for the sake of Hashem, the good, sheyeh min hano'eh v'hatov, it should be from the nicest, from the best. In bana beis tefila, you're building a shul, the shul should be nicer than your home. Hachil ra'av, you're feeding someone who's hungry. Yachil min hatov v'hamasuk shabashulchano, feed him the best and the sweetest from your table. Kisa arum, you're going to give clothing to someone who has none. Yechasim min hayafeh shebeksusa, don't give him the old ratty hand-me-downs. Give him the most nicest, most beautiful things you have. Hikdish davar, you're making something kodesh. Yachdish min hayafeh shebechasav, makdish the best of your property. V'cheinu omer, it says kolcheir v'Hashem. All the best goes to Hashem. So we learn from Hevel that he brought from the nicest for the carbon, that this is true of everything that you're going to do for Hashem. You're going to bring the nicest, the best. And whether it's the shul you're building, or whether the food you're giving to the ani, or whether the clothing you're going to give to the person who doesn't have, it should be nice and beautiful. It should be mehudar, yafa, tov. But the Mashgiach pointed out a fascinating thing in the Rambam's language. The Rambam says, whatever is for the sake of Hashem, the good, should be the best, the nicest, and the good. The Rambam refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu many times, but doesn't call HaKel HaTov. This description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKel HaTov, seems to stand out in this particular place. So Mashkiach said, the reason why the Rambam uses this language is to teach us a message that's for Chanukah and really for all year long. And that is, to Ribbono Shel Olam is good. To Ribbono Shel Olam does good things for us all the time. And that's why when you're going to do a mitzvah, do it from the best. If you're doing something for Hashem's sake, do it from the best. If it's going to be L'shem HaKel HaTov, Yimin HaNoa V'HaTov. It's essentially a Hakaras HaTov. When we do something beautiful, it's an expression of gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does so much for us. If we're going to do a mitzvah, we want to make sure it's the nicest possible. So when we come to the Nes of Chanukah, the Yontif of Chanukah is L'Hodos U'L'Halel. We say in the Al-Nisim, the days of Chanukah were established for Hodos Halal. The Gemara says it was established for Hodor, for Halal, to give praise and thanks to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a recognition of Hakaras HaTov to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a recognition of a debt, if you will, to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why when you're going to do something, L'Shem HaKel HaTov, it has to be Minanah V'HaTov. It has to be the nicest possible. So when it comes to the mitzvah of lighting the nearest Chanukah, we try to do it mahadrin min mahadrin. We have the nicest way. And that's why only by near Chanukah do you have a built-in system of how to beautify the mitzvah that you don't really find by other mitzvahs. Of course, every mitzvah you should do nicely, but it's not described for us exactly how to do it nicer. By Chanukah it is, and everyone does it mahadrin min mahadrin. We light one the first night, two the second, three the fourth, up to eight for the last night. Mahadim and Ahadim, the reason we do it to be so beautiful is because it's an expression of Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKel HaTov, that Hashem is good to us, and in turn we try to do things beautiful back for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is a message he said for all year long. We have to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always good to us, even when things look bleak, even when the Jews were oppressed under the Givonim's rule. The Ribbono Shel Olam is HaKel HaTov. And through the Mesiras Nefesh of the Chashmonaim came out a tremendous miracle, the Nitzachon, the conquest, the reestablishment of the Malchus of Yisrael and Yerushalayim, and the Nes of the Menorah. But the mitzvah that we have is to remind us, so to speak, that we're trying to do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem is always good, and this is something that we should take with us all year long. That whatever happens during the course of the year, in the course of our lives, you know Hashem is HaKel HaTov, and that's why we want things to be as beautiful, nice, in a hiddur fashion. This is basically a synopsis, very briefly, what the Mashkiach said. So I was wondering as follows. We know there's a concept of doing mitzvahs nicely, hiddur mitzvah. Hiddur mitzvah, you get an esrog, you want it to be a nice esrog. You light a menorah, you want it to be a nice menorah. You light Shabbos candles, you try and light it a nice leichter, whether it's silver or not silver, but it should be nice. It should be something nice. It's, you're doing a mitzvah now. You want it to be attractive. You want it to look better than regular. This is not just an ordinary thing I'm doing. I'm doing a mitzvah, and all mitzvahs that way. Try to do mitzvahs in the nicest possible fashion. So I always thought that the reason we do Hiddur Mitzvah is an expression of Ahavas Hashem. I always understood the context of Hashem. First, I'll give you an example. It's someone's birthday, so you're going to get them a present, which is very nice. You're close to this person, you get a present. But you're not just going to get a present. You're going to wrap the present in a very nice wrapping paper. And then you're going to put on a bow. And you may even put some frilly stuff on the sides of the bow and tie it nice. Why are you doing all that? It's their birthday. You want to give them a present. So give them a present. Here. I thought you'd like this. Here's a sweater. Here's a this, whatever it is. Why am I going to the effort of boxing it, wrapping it, ribboning it, bowing it? Why am I doing all that? So I always understood it's an expression of Ahava. If I want to show my feelings towards this person, I show it by going to the lengths of making it look especially nice. The present is the same present, whether it's in a bag or wrapped in a beautiful box. So what's the difference? When I go to the effort to put it in the beautiful box and make it all nice, so that shows that I care about this person. I love this person. I have a strong affection for this person. And that's why I go to all this effort. That's how I always understood Hiddur Mitzvah. So Hiddur Mitzvah, I could do a mitzvah. Hashem gave me mitzvahs. I do the mitzvahs. That I should go to the effort to make it beautiful and nice and pay attention to all these details, that means that I have a relationship. That's not just I'm doing it because I have to do it and it's expected of me and it's a responsibility that I have. That, by doing it straight, I've fulfilled my responsibilities. I've discharged my obligations. But by going to the extra mile, the extra effort to make it look nice, to make it beautiful, that shows more than just I'm here to fulfill my requirements. It shows I care. It shows a sense of a relationship. And that's why I do these things, to make it look nicer. That's how I understand it. And I think there's merit to that. I think that is a understanding of Hiddur Mitzvah. But then the Mashgiach points out the Rambam. And the Rambam is saying that anything you do, l'shem hokel hatoiv, should be min hanoah v'hatoiv. If you build a house for a shul, it should be a beautiful, and so on. So the Rambam is describing in the context of ahakaras hatoiv t'akadosh baruch hu. So I don't see this as the same. It's one thing when I owe someone a debt of gratitude, so I am going to make it as nice as possible because I know that I'm indebted. The example that I heard from my friend, the fellow who is every day driving a neighbor to work. You know, this fellow drives to the place, the neighbor moves in, he works the same place. Oh, I could take you. And every day he drives it. And the fellow next door never offers to drive. They're both going to the same place. And one guy is driving every day. So it's kind of expected. It comes Purim time, the next door neighbor is going to give a Zash Al-Khmanis. It's going to stand out to show his appreciation for taking him every morning to drive him to work. Right? So there's this idea that if you want to show Hakaras HaTov, you also make something beautiful and nice and large and it's clearly that I'm appreciative for what you've done for me. So that's one thing, it's Hakaras HaTov. But I'm thinking in a different context, in the context of Ahava, of a relationship. And I don't think it comes from an indebtedness as much as it comes from a caring, a feeling, an affinity to this person. It could be you also have a cross to the person, but that's not what's motivating me to make it so beautiful and nice and everything else. The motivation is my feelings for this person, my relation with this person. So you have Hakaras HaTov, which is one thing, it's important. And there's Avos Hashem, which is another thing, it's also important. But I didn't understand it in the same way. Now, what becomes particularly puzzling to me is the following issue. And this is where, I don't know if the two are going to meet or not, but here's the issue. I think most of us are familiar with Rav Dessler's discussion of Ahava, when he has his detailed presentation on people who give and people who take. There's Nesina, there's Kabbalah, there are people who are givers, people who are takers. And Rav Dessler puts forward the concept that if you want to love somebody, if you want to like somebody, you should give them things. Do things for them. We think that if someone gives us things, we will love that person. So it's not that way. When we give to others and we do for others, we will love the person to whom we are giving. And I believe it's Rav Hirsch who says the word Ahava comes to the word Hav, which means to give. So Rav Dessler explains that you don't become an Ohev by being a Makabel. By receiving, you don't love someone because they give to you. You love someone when you give to them. When you are a nosein, that creates ahava. When you give to someone, it creates ahava. If there's someone that you don't get along with, and you really you want to get along with this person, So the way to change the way you deal with this person is to start giving to that person. Give and do for that person, and that will create an ava. You'll be close to this person by doing for that. Doing for that person. This is a yesod that Rav Dessler says. So he says, like in a relationship of a husband and wife, ava doesn't come by receiving gifts. Ava comes by giving gifts. Right? You have to be on the giving end. By giving, you'll generate ava, not by receiving. So I have a problem. It's yesod. And the problem is, how do you explain Avos Hashem? We have a mitzvah to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avos Hashem. V'yahavta Hashem Elokecha. We don't do anything for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We do mitzvahs. It's true. We have responsibilities. We have obligations. We're not doing for Hashem. Hashem does not need our mitzvahs. Dibur Hashem gives a lot. Dibur Hashem gives and gives and gives. It's almost like just the opposite. We're receiving, and therefore we should love Hashem. Hakar Satov. I don't know if Hakar Satov leads to Ava, but the relationship is skewed the wrong way. We have mitzvah love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we're always on the receiving end. We're not on the giving end. Maybe you could tell me there's a Geder Mesiras Nefesh, perhaps, that Mesiras Nefesh is giving, perhaps such a concept. But that's not the standard understanding of Avas Hashem. When the Rambam describes the mitzvah of Avos Hashem. It's the very beginning of the Rambams. He said the Torah, the second chapter. He begins Halacha Aleph, Hakel Hanechbad Hanoira Hazeh Mitzvah L'Avo L'Yir Osa. There's a mitzvah to love and awe or fear the Ribbono Shel Olam, like it says, V'Ahavta Hashem Elokecha, and it says, as Hashem Elokecha Tibo. So the Rambam asks, Heyech Hi Haderech L'Havasel V'Yir. So how do you come to love Hashem? How do you come to Yerushalayim? So the Rambam says, "B'sha'ah she'yisponein ha'adam b'ma'asav u'beruav haniflaim ha'gedolim." When a person considers what the Ribbono Shel Olam has done and created, it's amazing. It's enormous. Ve'yir mehen chachmaso she'ein la'erech v'lokeitz, and he realizes the wisdom that's infinite, it's immeasurable. Miyad hu ohev umeshabech umefaer umesavet hayva gedolah leidah Hashem gedol. This brings immediately to love and to praise and to glorify and to desire, a tremendous desire, to understand Hashem. Kama she'amar David, like David said, Sama nafshi l'Elokim l'kelchoy. My soul thirsts for Hashem. And when you let these things, when you think about these things, miyad hu nir to la'achorav, it causes him to step back. The yifchad, and he has a fear and an awe. The yodan, he realizes shubriya katana shafala afela omedz bedas kalam uutul fitam deyas, that he's so small and insignificant in contrast to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's the yira we're talking about. The yira isn't the ultimate yira is not fear of punishment, but it's the recognition, it's a sense of awe of Hashem's greatness. So the Rambam says that you don't come to Avos Hashem by doing mitzvahs. And you don't come to Avos Hashem by doing Hiddur Mitzvahs. The Rambam says you come to Avos Hashem by thinking about how great Hashem is and how wonderful HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created and done, and that brings us to love Hashem and to praise Hashem and to want to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam makes no mention of doing mitzvahs. Chofetz Chaim says learning Torah is one of the ways you come to Avos Hashem. Because when you learn Torah, you get a glimpse into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, if you will. The Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah Shbechsas from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah Shvapes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you want to understand Hashem, you learn Torah. There's a saying, I forget which Gadol said it, that essentially davening is when we talk to Hashem. Learning Torah is when Hashem talks to us. Learning Torah is a way to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam says, if you look and understand the Bria and the Maisim, you come to Avos Hashem. So there are Orthodox from scientists who maintain, and I think they're correct, that by the study of their fields of chemistry and physics and science and biology and whatever it is, they come tremendous avos Hashem, because they see how great and pelodic the bria is. For the unlearned person, so a little bit, you see the world around you and you can appreciate things a little bit on one level, but when you understand the science and understand cells and what goes on, then there's so much more to appreciate the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think there's a truth to that. I think the Rambam is saying it. But Rashiv Weinberg spoke to a group of scientists and he said to them, this may be true, but don't tell me that you pursue the sciences to know Hashem. If you pursue the sciences because this is how you're going to support your family and live a Torah-dic life, and on the way you realize the godliness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's fine. But if you really want to know Hashem, put down your chemistry book and open up a Gemara, because you'll know HaKadosh Baruch Hu a lot better from the Gemara than you will from your chemistry book or from the lab slide under the microscope. Whatever you'll get, and you'll get a lot, from understanding anatomy, physiology, cell, microbiology, all that stuff, learning Gemara, learning Torah, learning Chumash, you understand the Kaddish Baruch Hu 10 times more. This is the Bereshit Mitzrayim, directly. So the Rambam says that a person can recognize Kaddish Baruch Hu by understanding what he's done, and the Chavetz Chaim writes that you learn Torah that leads to brings to Avos Hashem. But it's not that I daven Shacharis in the morning, it's not that I put on tzitzis, it's not that I give tzedakah, it's not that I mafresh challah, it's not that I light Shabbos candles, it's not that I keep kosher. He doesn't say by doing the things you're supposed to do that brings to Avos Hashem. So how do you balance this against Rav Dessler's axiom? Ava does not come by receiving, Ava comes by giving. And this is something to ponder. You could ponder this and come up with something perhaps. In my mind, I wonder as follows. Maybe we have to differentiate between how we apply Ava. Rav Dessler is discussing Ava between two peers, two similar level people, a man and a woman, or two women or two men, whatever the case may be. How do you foster a relationship? Do something for the other person. Do for other people. You want to love people, do for them. Doesn't mean they'll love you. That's because you do for them. It's a mistake people make. You think you do for someone else, oh, they're going to love me now. And you get very disappointed when you find it doesn't happen like that. When you do for them, you love them, doesn't mean they'll love you back. If they do for you, they'll love you also. That's the thing Rav Dessler puts it. For Shalom Bayis, don't think receiving gifts is going to bring Ahava. Giving gifts is what brings Ahava. And by the way, there's a whole separate discussion of how to receive gifts. You have to know how to receive gifts. Not everyone knows how to receive a gift properly. If someone gives you something, you have to show a tremendous amount of appreciation, even if you have another one, even if you have one that's even nicer. Don't let on. Don't say. If someone is doing something nice for you, let them sound nice for you. Don't cut them down. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people who have problems with relationships because they don't know how to receive graciously. You have to know how to receive a gift graciously. In any event, maybe that concept is when you're dealing with basically equals. But maybe when you're not dealing with equals, it works differently. And the example I'm thinking about is parents of children. Parents give a lot to their kids. Parents love their kids. I would think that kids love their parents too. But they're not giving them. They're not giving them the way they take. Kids are good at taking. They don't always give. Some kids do give. I'm not saying that, and especially parents with special needs and elderly, it gets all different. But I'm just saying in a normal basic scenario, assuming children love their parents, this is another shali note. The Torah says, Kavri Sevichos Imecha, Ish Imavav Tiro. Does that say anywhere you have to love your parents? Is there a mitzvah to love your parents? You have to honor, respect, sense of awe. If they want to drink, give them a drink. If they want a coat, give them a coat. If they want to go shopping, you take them shopping. Don't sit in their seat. Don't argue with them. Don't disagree with them. We all the halachas. to understand about loving them. So I did find the source. There is a source that kids are supposed to love their parents too. But I'm just saying in concept, it's not like the Chumash spells it out like that. It's general. Love everybody. Okay. But it doesn't single out parents as being unique. But let's, for the moment, put that aside. And children love their parents. According to death, or how does that work? That the parents love their children is no question. The parents, first of all, even if they don't give material things, they give life to this child. Raise a child. I mean, it's limitless giving. And that's what parents do. And parents don't mind doing it. Parents are happy to do it. It doesn't bother them to give to their children. But it certainly creates an ahava to the point that it probably is correct to say that children will love their children more than they will love their parents. And that's the famous story that I think it's one of the Lehman stories about the birds. I mean, it must have placed one point or another. The birds on one side of the river, and there's a fire raging, and the young birds can't fly across the river, too young. And they have to get across the other side because there's a fire on their side of the forest across the river. So the mother bird picks up the first and swims across the river and says, flies across the river, holding the young, and says to the young bird, if I couldn't fly and you could, would you take me across the river? Of course, mother, of course, the mother. And the mother says, liar, and let's go, and let's the baby go. Drops in the river and drowns. Goes back to the next bird. That's like stories you tell your kids at night before you go to sleep. So goes to the next bird and takes the next baby bird and flies across the river. The same thing. If I couldn't fly and you could fly, would you take me across the river? Of course, mother, of course, mother. Liar. Drops the bird. Bird dies in the river. Goes back to the third, the last bird, the little baby, flying across the river. If I couldn't fly and you could, would you take me? And the baby bird says, I don't know if I would take you, but I would for sure take my kids. So, that's Emmas. Takes them across the river. So, whatever you want to do with the story, the concept is that there's an Emmas that a child may never be able to love the parent the way they'll love their own children. No matter how close they'll be with a parent, it's not the same relationship as with a child. So, again, assuming the child does love the parent, whatever that ava is, so where does that come from? So, does it come from a karas hatov? Or maybe it comes from a recognition of something greater than myself? And then you go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu now. Obviously, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not giving. We could do all the mitzvahs, and we're not really giving to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it's true, maybe by Mesiris Nefesh, there's an element of giving to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that you could question yes or no. But on the normal mitzvahs we do, we say this in the Ne'ilah Davening, what are we doing? Everything we do, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you don't need what we're doing. So ultimately, the mitzvahs are for us. The Baruch Hu gave us mitzvahs for us to be improved, for us to be better, for us to be refined. Havas Hashem, realizing that the Ibn Hashem is so great and awesome and magnificent and everything he's done, that brings to Ava. Maybe the Tamei is a different type of Ava. But whatever type of Ava, that's the mitzvah of Havas Hashem. That's the mitzvah of Havas Hashem. The mitzvah of Havas Hashem is this realization, this recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness, to the point that you want to know more. You want to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You want to be dovek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sama nafshi l'Elokim. You want to understand more. You want to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, perhaps, when you're not dealing with equal level, you're not dealing with peers, kind of thing, it doesn't have to be the way Rav Dessler describes it, or the way Rav Hirsch explains how to give is what engenders love. And perhaps, this is part of the concept of parents as well, that's a recognition of how much the parents have done and accomplished, and we would like to be like them and emulate them, hopefully, if the parents are good role models and so on. And that leads to an ava. Perhaps it's a different type of ava. So maybe we can make that distinction. So when it comes to hiddur mitzvah, when it comes to doing something beautiful, I think I'm correct that when you go to great lengths to make it look nice, it is an expression of Ahava. But perhaps that's only sufficient for Ahava among peers. When I show my wife that I love her, it's not enough just to give her a gift in a bag. I'm going to have it boxed and ribboned and make it look nice. And that could be to her friends and anyone on like level. That doesn't mean if you give your parent a gift, it doesn't have to be wrapped nice. But I'm just saying, the concept, I think, is correct. When I'm giving, so I'm giving, I make sure I give it nice. With a Kaddish Baruch Hu, it's different. The Av is different. Because it's not that we're giving the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And then the Rambam says, so why are you making it nice? What is the point of making the mitzvahs we do beautiful? Hakar Satoiv. Hakel Hatoiv gets min Hanov Hatoiv. It's the Hakar Satoiv, expression of Hakar Satoiv. So my initial thinking that Hindu mitzvah is an expression of Ahava, maybe that's only true Ben Adam Chaveru. But Ben Adam L'Makayim, it could be the Hindu mitzvah is not going to be an expression of Ahava as much an expression of Hakar Satoiv. And then you could think back, if this is correct analogy, so maybe when I give my parents a gift, wrapping it extra nice is more a Hakar Satoiv, which we all are indebted to our parents. So Hakar Satoiv, I want it to be extra nice. I'm not going to give it in a bag. I want it to be extra beautiful, extra nice. It's different when I wrap the gift for my wife than when I wrap the gift for my parents. This is what I'm pondering. And it may be accurate. And it's the Hakar Satoiv. Now, by the way, this mashal I'm giving you, just to understand in the metaphor, how I'm lining up the relation we have with our parents and the relation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is not just a mere metaphor or an example to show that there's a similarity. By our homes, I know there may be exceptions, but generally speaking, in our homes, there's one seat at the head of the table. And that's the father's place. In some homes, the mother sits at the foot of the table, the other head, if you call it like that. In other homes, the mother sits next to the father. I've seen both. I believe, according to the official books on etiquette, the hostess and host sit on opposite ends, and then your guests sit on either side. And of course, the way the goyim do it, the women sit by the men and the men by the women, but what happens with the goyim? So I'm just saying, generally speaking, there's a set place for the head of household. And usually that is a man. Doesn't always have to be, usually it is. And the home does not work as democracy. As Mashiach Zichron Vacha would say, could you imagine your home running as a democracy? There are five kids and two parents. Kids want ice cream and cake for supper, the parents want chicken and falafel. Oh, five against two. Ice cream and cake for supper. No. It's an autocratic system, maybe a dictatorship, however you set it up. But that's not how it works. There's an authority figure, and there's maybe two of our authority figures, but there's going to be one over the others. Again, some fans don't like it, they want more equal, but typically the way it always was there's going to be one seat at the head, and usually it's the father's seat, and he is the king in his palace, so to speak. There's a reason for this. This is not just a convention. From the Torah Musar vantage point, the child's relationship to the parent is training the child to relate to Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can't just drop out of the sky and have a kesher with Kadosh Baruch Hu and understand what it means to follow instructions. I told you to do it, so you have to do it. How many times have parents told kids, don't ask me why? I told you to do it, do it. I have my reasons. That trains a child, there's a thing called a chayk. We don't understand the reason for everything. Why can't I wear shatness? Makes no difference why you can't. Hashem said not to wear it. End of discussion. And this becomes ingrained in our education of our kids. The father said, don't ask why, he has his reasons. He has his reasons. He doesn't have to tell you his reasons. And we become accustomed to this concept. And I think there's another one that we don't appreciate that much, but it's very important. Parents will discipline their children. Parents should discipline their children. And on occasion, it may be corporal punishment at a very young age. Why is it important for a child to get a patch from a parent? Why is it important for a child to be disciplined by a parent? Because in life, not everything's going to go our way. Sometimes Ribbono Shel'Olam sends things our way that are painful. We don't understand it. But if we're trained from a young age that someone who loves you and cares about you could do this to you, and it doesn't mean they don't love you, it doesn't mean they don't care about you, then in life you could relate when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things as well. So essentially, we try to create in the home a microcosm, so to speak, of the bigger universe where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the head of the household. And the Ribbono Shel'Olam gives us instructions what to do, and we follow obediently, hopefully. And sometimes we get a patch, and we understand, doesn't mean Hashem doesn't love us. It does mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rejected us. And of course, the Navi talks about this at great lengths when one of the goals. Does that mean Hashem has given up on us? Does that mean Hashem has thrown us away? Are we no longer wanted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And there has to be all the reassurances from the Nevi'im. And the Nechamas that we read in the Parshias after Tisha B'Av, that the Rosh doesn't throw us away, the Rosh doesn't reject us. Sometimes we need a patch. And the ability to take it and not kick back is what you learn from a parent. It starts at home. That the child has to learn, if the parent hits, you don't hit back. It's a training. And again, little kids aren't being, you're not explaining to them, but it becomes, this is what we're trying to accomplish. So when I talk about this comparison of our relationship with our parent and then our relationship with Baruch Hu, I'm very specific about that because that's how I understand the home is built on this concept that we're trying to create a paradigm, if you will, of how we were there with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why even though we have to honor our mothers and we have to respect our mothers, yet we still put the father ahead of the mother. Why? Because there's only one Ribbono Shel'Olam. You can't have two. If you have two equal, then how are you going to relate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So we start with one, and then we deter and sisters kibbutz aim, and there's yiras aim also. But there has to be this difference. That's why the halacha you all taught, if the father and the mother both ask a child at the same time for a drink of water, so you give the father first. Not because the father is more special than the mother, but there has to be this idea that there's one on top and everything flows, because that's how the bria is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, at the top. So that's how I understand the concept. So Mamela, when we have Avas Hashem, a mitzvah Avas Hashem, and again, it doesn't come from giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rather it comes from a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness, learning Torah, understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and when we realize HaKel HaTov, what Hashem does for us, and HaKaras HaTov, we respond by doing mitzvahs as beautiful as possible. So that's when I'm not trying to create a relationship, when I'm giving the poor person clothing to wear, I mean, not know the person at all, maybe sending clothes to Eretz Yisrael for poor families. You send nice clothes. You don't send clothes that aren't nice. Right? I'm doing it l'shem Hashem. I want it l'shem Hashem HaTov. It has to be menanah v'hatov. If you have someone that you're building a relationship with, so then I would say the expression of Ava is by giving, and giving in a very nice way. Making the giving in a nicer fashion, so to speak, the mahudadik way of giving, that shows the av as well. So, going back just to the Yom Tov of Chanukah is a time to realize what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, and how we do for HaKadosh, we try, in turn, to do as nice as possible in our Kiyum HaMitzvos. HaKel HaTov, the Ribbono Shel Olam is good. And we give specific thanks over Chanukah. We say Hallel over Chanukah. We express it. But all year long, you know, the Yom Tov of Chanukah is meant to carry us throughout the year. And whenever we do mitzvahs throughout the year, we should try to make it as nice as possible because we realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is good to us. If Kadosh Baruch Hu is good to us, then we have to do mitzvahs as nice as possible. It's an expression of our karsatayv.